welcome.
We want to welcome you to Montevideo, and thank you all for coming out to meet our governor, and what a thrill it is for us to have him. We all know that he's out here on a craft program, and it originally started with a guy from Montevideo, Congressman Dave Menge, and he got together with the governor, and it's state and federally funded. And Dave, we really appreciate it. We really appreciate you coming down. Also with me today is our representative, Doug Peterson, who come on down to see us. And we really want to give the governor a fine welcome. We want to thank him for stopping and making Montevideo one of his stops. Governor, I got a little thing here for you. I want to present you with a hat of City of Montevideo and also a key to our city. Anytime, feel free to come on out. In fact, we'd love to have you come out for the goose opener this year for hunting season. I know it's short notice, but we want to invite you out, and we'll arrange everything, believe me. So at this point, I want to introduce you to the Honorable Governor Jesse Ventura of the wonderful state of Minnesota.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. First of all, on the way here, we saw, Watson? Yeah, Watson said they're the goose capital of the world. And I probably would think so, because when the geese comes in, there's more geese than there are people in Watson, I think. But no, it's terrific to be here this morning. It's a lot of fun to get out of the office. You know, you spend a lot of time in St. Paul all the time, and for me, I like coming out here just to let you know that we know there's the rest of Minnesota, too. It's not just the Twin Cities. And I want to thank Congressman Menge for being as diligent as he was in the CREP program. I mean, he was relentless. My phone would ring. He irritated me on a lot of times because he over and over again. But you need to do that today in today's politics. If you believe in something, you have to be relentless on it. And this program's a win-win, I think, for everyone involved, because it does a tremendous service for our environment, and yet it rewards our farmers for not using a particular strip of land. And eventually it's going to reward the United States, because as you know, they're getting a dead zone down there in the Gulf, where all the water runs in down there, and this is our step here in Minnesota to help fix that. And again, it's a win-win. It's great to be here in Montevideo. Great to see a turnout like this. Thank you. And I would like to say, on all my trips, everyone's thanking me for their rebate check. Look, you don't have to thank me for it. It's your money. You know, all I'm doing is giving back to you what was over-collected with a tax system and a very robust economy. Now, you've gotten three years in a row, but I want to warn you. We've cut taxes now, and the economy is leveling off a little bit more, so don't necessarily think these rebate checks are forever and ever. Amen. You know, at the end of the next biannual budget, certainly if there's surplus, money will go back to you again, if we've over-collected. But if there's not, and I'm hoping there's not, because I got to tell you, surplus equals headache, at least on our end. Because what happens then is you get every special interest group in Minnesota wants that money. And they come over there, and they're focused, they're diligent, and they won't take no for an answer, but we battle them, because I tell them, that's not your money. The rebate goes back to all Minnesotans. It's everybody's money and should be equally and fairly distributed. And I'm glad it's a sales tax rebate. You know, I had a lot of people telling me, no, it should be an income tax rebate. But there's a problem there. If we do it as an income tax rebate, then you have to declare it on your taxes. That means Washington will get about a third of it. And I don't buy into that. That's our money in Minnesota. We give enough to Washington. And so by doing it as a sales tax, if you can't deduct it, you can't tax it. That's how it works. And you can't deduct the sales tax, so therefore they can't tax it. That's why it's a sales tax rebate. Again, I'm going to take a walk up and down Main Street here a little bit. And, I have no prepared remarks or anything like that. Just, again, a big thank you. It's great to be here. Keep working hard and get ready because I got a feeling we're getting an early winter again this year. And I'll tell you why. The three mild ones we had prior to last winter at my farm in Maple Grove, the acorns fell off the oak trees mid-September. Last year they fell mid-August. This year they fell mid-August again. And that's how I judge. So be prepared. I got a feeling I may be wrong, and I hope I am, but I think we're going to have another pretty rugged winter for 2 years in a row of it. But we'll get through it like all good Minnesotans and everything like that, so we're not going to worry about it. And any questions anyone would have at all? Don't have to be political either, Yeah. Tim who? I encourage everybody that wants to serve and run for government should do it. So I have no problem with people wanting my job. Good. People should, because every candidate that wants this job is going to bring an issue to the table that needs to be talked about. And so I don't have a problem with that. But I think rather than Mr. Pawlenty going after me right now, he's got to win his party's endorsement. He ought to be focusing on winning his Republican Party endorsement first. And then, of course, I guess my answer to him would be, who did he get permission from to run? Because that seems to be he needs permission to do it. And so somebody must have told him it was okay, one of the hierarchy, within whatever. So, you're a reporter, huh? God, John. You people in Montevideo are sneaky. You got reporters that look like my grandmother. See, I'm used to dealing with these hardcore Twin City guys here, And I look over here and I think that, who's this nice lady? And it turns out you're a jackal. Man, oh man. Yes. Am I going to run for president? Oh yeah, I know. I'm honored. I'm flattered that people would even bring that up. If you'd have asked me 4 years ago, would I be the governor? I would have said you're crazy. Because I didn't have any intention at that time for holding this job. You never know what the future brings, but right now I have no intention of running for president. You look at how I am right now. I have security with me and this and that. Well, I've been around the presidents, both President Clinton and President Bush now, and that really is living in a bubble. The president's the leader of the free world, but it's an oxymoron. He himself has no freedom. If you want to go out in the evening and go down and buy a root beer, they have to weld manhole covers and close streets to do that. And I'm 50 now, and I really don't know if I would want to live under that type of condition. I just came from the prison in Appleton. We took a visit there. And really, being president, you're a prisoner. Because you don't have the freedom to come and go as you please, because you can't. Now, I, as a governor, can have more freedom because I'm not dealing with national security issues. But as a president, you have to understand there's national security issues. You've got to have your protection around you at all times. And I love the security guys. They're great guys. But like anyone, you get a little tired of them after a while. When they're on your right, they're on your left, and everywhere you go, and this and that, and they do a terrific job, don't get me wrong, but there's times, don't you all like to get away by yourself now and then? Jump in your car and drive, and so I I won't say I have no intention to do it, but I'm also a believer in fate. And I think things sometimes happen for a reason. So if I end up there, you'll know it wasn't by my doing, it was by somebody else's. Okay, good enough answer? All right. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
So that was just made 15 miles south of my video, and I'm proud to be one that sold on it, and I feel extra close to it.
Well, very good. All right. I'll think of you when it keeps me warm. There we go. All right. Yeah. Is there a promotion for family farms? Well, look around. It ought to be a promotion enough for it. I mean, if you love the outdoor and you love, you know, breathing fresh air and not traffic jams, I don't think Montevideo has too many yet, do they? We don't need light rail here yet, do we? Okay. So, you know, that would be, I mean, to me, it's got to be in your blood. It's got to be something you want to do like any other occupation in life to do. One thing I want to say, though, you know, during the campaign, I kept hearing about The young people, they're leaving the small towns, they're leaving. Let's remember something for a moment. Think back when you were young. That's what they're supposed to do. They've been in school, they've saw on television, they read papers, they look in magazines about this whole world out there. Of course they're gonna go. I did, I joined the Navy. They told me I could see the world. They didn't lie. I did. But I mean, that's what all young people do. When you're 18, 20, 22 years old, you're going to go out in the world and adventure. But our key is when you do decide to get married, when you do decide to want to have a family, then we want you back, you know, and you'll make a decision, hopefully, to come back to Minnesota and maybe back to your own hometown. I've been to all 50 states in my travels, and you notice where I ended up, right back in Minnesota.
Minnesota night.
But don't take it when young people go. It's their nature. They're going to do it. You did it. Many of us did it. Remember back what you felt like when you were 18. You want to go out and see that world out there. Yes. You're getting a rare one on these trips because I usually don't do it because if I start, it can throw me way off schedule. And that's another thing, Tuff. You asked me about these jobs.
There you go. You're welcome.
The difficulty of these jobs is you live a completely scheduled life. I mean, from the time you get up in the morning till the time you go to bed, it's this at this hour, this, 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 and this. And, you know, after 4 or 8 years of that, You kind of like to go back to, you know, I'd like to have my own schedule, do things when I want to do it a little bit more. Yes, sir.
Where do you stand on mental health programs in Minnesota, especially rural Minnesota?
Well, where do I stand on them? Certainly if they're, you know, if there's a need for them. And, you know, understand my philosophy, and that's this. Government should only do for you what you can't do for yourself. If you can do it for yourself, then government should not have a place at the table. So that'll answer your question. Okay. Yes, sir.
Grant is a one-term governor. Where is your stand on that at this point?
I didn't guarantee one term. I've always... No. I've always stated I would never do more than two. I will self-impose term limits on myself. My belief is no one should serve longer than the president's allowed. And we allow the president 2 4-year terms. Because really one term, the bureaucracy of government and the slow nature in which it operates, you can't always accomplish everything in that 4 years. And many times you would need eight. But I will tell you this, I will not run for re-election if it just means being the governor. You follow me on that? I mean, I'm not doing this just to say I'm the governor. If I feel there's something I still want to accomplish and there's things that I still feel I can accomplish, then I will run again. If I feel there's not, or personal and my family, then I won't. I served only one term as mayor of Brooklyn Park because I felt I had done what I set out to do. The city was changed around. Crime had been taken care of and was dropping substantially. I felt my job was done. It was time for me to go back to the private sector where I came from. And I believe that's what our country was founded upon. You go and you serve. When you're done serving, go back to what you used to do, or go back to a new career, or whatever in the private sector. So I won't guarantee you I'll never do more than two terms. Whether I run again, I don't know yet. I'll decide next summer or spring or whatever. But rest assured, I won't go consult a group of people to determine whether I will run or not. That decision will be made by me, and there'll be probably one person that will have a big part in that, and that's the First Lady, because she's been around 26 years and has earned that right to make that decision with me. So, okay, one last question, and then I got to... Well, when it gets to my desk, we'll judge them accordingly. Nothing is away from my veto pen. Nothing is sacred from it. And so remember that you make decisions. And, the thing to remember about my job is this. No matter what decision you make, someone won't like it. And you really have to learn to live with that. You make the best decisions you can. And I'm not going to tell you I don't make mistakes. Sure I do. Absolutely I will make mistakes. I'm as human as anyone else. We all make mistakes. But you do the best job you can. And I'll tell you this. Every night I can go home and I can look in the mirror. And I can look at myself in the mirror. And I don't have to worry about, because rest assured with me, there's nobody hiding behind the curtain pulling the strings. You may not agree with everything that I do, but you'll know that I made the decision for myself. And it wasn't being made by a group of whatever behind the curtain or somebody pulling the strings saying you should do this and you should do that. And quite frankly, and I'll throw another little one out, I don't necessarily think our candidate should be determined by Washington. People in Washington shouldn't be telling Minnesotans whether they should or should not run. Minnesotans should make that decision, not Washington. We got enough problems with Washington without them telling us who should or shouldn't run. So, no, they told me that's the last question. Besides, you already got one. No, there ain't no little...
The tie into grandma.
Are there good jackals and bad jackals? Yeah. Some jackals smile, some frown. Some remain on 2 feet most of the time, but most of the other times they will get on four as they move about. And some jackals get out and see the sunlight. Some jackals at the Capitol are down in the basement, and they never see the sunlight. Some jackals have clean offices. Some have offices that are beyond belief when you get in them. Anyway, thank you very much. It's great to be here in Montevideo. Thank you for coming out, and have a great fall. How's your football team this year? They okay? Now, what division is Montevideo? 3A, 2A, what are they?
Double A,
2A? 2A? Okay. I'll look for them then. Anyway, thank you again. Have a great day, and thanks for coming out. I appreciate it very much. What is the, Mr. Mayor, will this get me into the bank?
I think I can talk to the president since we can arrange
okay.
it.
All right. So this will get me right over into there. I can unlock anything I want over there. Actually, when I pulled up, I thought that the crowd wasn't for me. I thought it was for the Bud Light truck. There's one down there at the end of the street, and I thought they're waiting for the Bud Light truck. Thank you.
Let's go this way, Governor.
Okay.